Okay, we're back with Project Independent Jew. I'm John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft, and we're here talking with Metrophysical Therapy, and we're talking with Cherry and Nancy, and we've been talking about falls, but what I'd like to do now is continue on. I have two questions. One, we talked about the penguin, and I'm just thinking on the break, what about a person with a cane that they only have the balance of one hand, and if that really, does that defeat the penguin, or can it still be done? Mm-hmm. And then a little bit about getting organized to go out, what you were talking about. So, Nancy, I'm going to go to you first.
Sure. So with regard to the penguin shuffle and using a cane or a walker, you can still perform the activity of being a penguin. Okay. Basically, what you're thinking about is flexing from the hips a little bit, so coming forward. Okay, so you could still have the walker or the cane in your hand. I would probably, if you're using that cane, bring it out to the side a little bit more on a diagonal pattern from your body. That's, again, going to increase and widen your base of support.
Okay.
Okay, always keep those knees a little bit bent. And then, again, point those toes out and scoot along. So, yes, you can definitely still do the penguin shuffle with that.
But take it slow. I think whenever you're in a snowy situation, make sure that cane is planted and then proceed to step two.
Right.
Like Nancy said, take step two. It's not alternating one foot in front of the other. I'd rather you see your left foot go out and your right foot almost be next to it. Not the normal reciprocal gait we do in a safe
setting. Right. Like the bride, right? Marching up the aisle. They go step,
exactly.
step.
There you go.
Okay.
Right.
Another question, talking about that and trying to get somebody to do the shuffle, etc. Is there some way that an adult child would go to their parents and give them, evaluate them for mom's ability to walk or dad, like dad, you know what I mean? Like some people are very agile and you know they wouldn't have a problem, and then that's their borderline person. You understand the question?
It would be kind of obvious, John, when you're around your parents to see how they move. I mean, if you're an interested child, a grown child, you would really understand immediately how the parent raises themselves from a chair, makes that first step, if they are able to, what would you call this, rocking motion,
Well, coming from sit to stand,
yes. Right.
To see how safe they are and confident. But you're right. I think you're around your parents. We're the sandwich generation. We're kind of happy. We see what's going on. But I really feel you also need to have your parents not go out in certain inclement weather.
Yeah.
Maybe be there to take them. Even though we're teaching you certain ways to be safe if you are alone, it would be wonderful if you can put your arm around your daughter or your son and let be even safer. I mean, using a walker or a cane, it's really up to you about the safety and the secure effort of putting it flat on the ground. So I think with your daughter or your child having this decision, there's so much literature discuss fall prevention and different tests that you can have your parents do. A lot of the senior centers now are doing free fall prevention. They're checking to see if you can stand on one leg safely, if you have the ability to sit to stand, or even walking a certain distance across the street in a certain amount of time. There's a test called the time get up and go. And according to the literature, you should be able to walk 10 feet in a certain amount of seconds.
That's so 10 seconds or less.
Okay.
How would a senior or a child, a grown child, help their parents to find out how to do these things that you've been talking about? What kind of access might they have?
Well, right now I know Project Independence, they have programs at many of the senior centers, so they can call 311 and find that information out where they're going to be doing those screenings. Physical therapists do screenings, some of the hospital settings, but it's really done every day in somewhere in Long Island. So you can Google it or go on Project Independence, and it's a great program. And there's so much literature and tests that can tell you if your parents are at higher risk of falling.
So and a lot of people don't think that they're at risk of falling. It's not until we work with some of these seniors and we put them through these tests that all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and says, oh, my goodness.
I thought
I could do this, or, I didn't think that this was going to be as challenging as you're putting me through these activities. And and like Sherry said, they're day-to-day activities. Can you place your foot on a stool, alternating one at a time in a certain amount of seconds. Like Sherry said, standing up from a position, walking the 10 feet and coming back. How long does that take us to do it? I mean, you may feel safe getting up, walking the 10 feet and coming back, but you may be doing that super duper slow.
Right.
And then that's also saying that you're at a higher risk of falls.
And you're accepting the speed at which you're at, whereas if you had more training, you might be able to speed it up and be more comfortable and be safer.
I mean, think about if you're, you know, standing on the corner and you're waiting for that light now to give you the go-ahead to cross the street, and you think, okay, I'm going to be safe, but all of a sudden, now that light goes off and says, you should have been over to the other side already, and you're stuck in the center. Now what do you do?
That's why Project Independence, by calling 311, is important, because I know in Great Neck Senior Center, we have Edith, who's involved, because even what I was saying earlier about what would a child look for in a parent, you can see that your parent can walk. And you can see they can do certain things, but you're not qualified to realize mom can't get up and down. But you'd say, well, I see my mother. She walks. She's fine. My father can walk. But you don't do those kind of tests.
Right.
So then who's really responsible?
Or even, John, a lot of patients say to me, oh, I have no problem getting up from a chair. And I said, okay, now get up from this chair that has no arms. And all of a sudden, they're very, very limited. Or I say, how about that really comfortable sofa that's at your daughter's house? And as soon as you sit into it, you just get sucked into the center. And then
you have to roll back and forth and start.
You need to do the rock like Iris was talking about, or somebody needs to give you a little shove. I mean, that's something also that we could work on.
And also what I have seen with older people is when they stand up, they stand with their legs too close together. As opposed to what you were saying about the penguin shuffle, you need to spread your legs a little bit farther apart so that you have that balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, as a physical therapist, I'm very idealistic, and I feel we have such a great program to offer seniors on safety and conditioning. So I think all this education we're talking about is done in so many different settings. Mm-hmm. I know the Project Independence, they have balance classes, and they're going over a lot of the things that we're talking about, as well as physical therapists or other outpatient facilities. But the key is also, you have to be flexible, you have to have strength, and you need to also have balance. So there are so many components in our fitness level that would be so important for everyone to take advantage of to then be safer in a...
Well, may I ask the next question. How does one pay for this?
Well, physical therapy is covered by insurance.
What kind of insurance is it?
All insurance.
Including Medicare?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need a prescription.
You need a prescription for some insurance companies, but to see a physical therapist, you do not need a prescription at this time. You can come 10 times.
From Medicare, you don't require a prescription.
What you require is a doctor to sign off on a plan of care. A physical therapist...
I would call that a prescription.
It's not anymore.
Isn't?
It's really an agreement. We do an evaluation. And then we mail it to the doctor, he reads it, and he just signs off that he agrees with the treatment.
Okay.
What's really nice is patients can now come directly to a physical therapist instead of waiting to make a doctor's appointment and then get a referral.
Okay.
So we have
Good point, Iris. So, but now that first visit, is that that's free? Or if the doctor says no, they pay for that? I'm trying to say?
Yes.
If the doctor hasn't approved it.
Right. But from our experience in Long Island, every doctor is so aware of direct access and also... prevention. I mean, now people can come right off the street, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially with the snowy weather, you know, right around us, we have a lot of patients coming in right now who say, listen, I want to strengthen myself. I want to make myself more flexible. I want to be safer out there. Can you please teach me some of these tricks of the trade? And that's what we're trying to give them, those tools to prevent themselves from falling.
Let me clarify this for the moment. You said 10 lessons or 10...
Sessions.
Or 30 days, whichever comes first.
Okay. Now, let's say someone has been unfortunate more than once. I mean, is that 10 sessions for the year or that's 10 sessions per injury?
During the year, Medicare does have a cap of how many visits someone can use physical therapy. But if there's a medical necessity, it can be extended.
I see.
That's why documentation and these functional tests are essential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's so nice, there's been a lot of research throughout the country on strength of seniors.
Right.
We have normative data from infants to 105-year-olds to really show different strength tests.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talked about sit to stand, you should be able to sit to stand 10 times in 30 seconds.
Without using your hands.
And if you can do that, you have less of a risk of falling.
Okay, that's interesting.
But that's not just showing the activity sit to stand. It's showing us the strength of your body. So by doing sit to stand, we're really evaluating your quads, your abdominals, and your glutes. So you're looking at the strength.
It's How many times?
10 times 30 seconds.
Okay, and that's like a kitchen chair, obviously. That would be the one. No arms, right? That would be
not the cushion. Yeah, that would be the optimal setting.
Okay.
We'll test you after, John.
Oh, yeah, you're going to test me.
I've got a question for you. Do you have a program to retrain the body's ability to communicate between the muscles and the nervous system to bring a person? Because you're talking about basically using the eyes, right? And as you said, the hips and so on. But this I'm talking about is to use, I wrote it out here.
Okay.
So let me just read it to you. Do you have a program to retrain the body's ability to communicate between the muscles and the nervous system to bring it to a more optimal level where there's been some damage to the ear?
Well, the thing is, Iris, your balance is controlled by three things: your inner ears, your vestibular system, your eyes, and your ability to feel the ground beneath you. Mm-hmm. So if there's damage to something, if you do have, let's say, vertigo or an inner ear problem, now your eyes and your ability to feel that ground beneath you are going to go into overdrive. We have to, you know, overstimulate the body in order to prevent yourself from falling.
But you could be making a mistake by stimulating the wrong thing.
Not necessarily. That's part of the treatment that we do for a lot of our patients with vertigo or balance issues, is that we try to put them in uncomfortable positions, such as standing on uneven surfaces, foam surfaces, so now that their feet can't necessarily find that steady position, or we have them close their eyes. So now we're now training more of that foot and the inner ear. So that's how we're trying to overcome it that way.
That's part of the program about pertaining to the inner ear.
Okay. Yeah. It never fails. Great information. We always run out of time.
Yeah.
We're here. We've been talking with Nancy and Sherry from Metro Physical and Therapy, and they are in Roslyn and in Great Neck. Call 311 if you'd like to get in touch with them. Project Independence does not endorse any particular business, but we do find that those people who are in the business tend to have the most knowledge. And we will be back right after this message from 88.1 FM.